This morning, I would have you to consider with me about the subject of hope. I had, as last Sunday, we listened to a song about hope. There is hope, right? If you remember it from last week, God knows what's going on, and as long as Jesus lives, there is hope, was the key line in that song. And it just got me thinking that in a day in which we live today, with a whole lot of hopelessness and despair around us, that it might be good for us to see what the scriptures have to say once again about hope. We covered hope back in 2021, I think, as a theme for the year, but it's always good to be reminded of what God has given to us in his word. Hope is a wonderful and essential quality to have for all of us for dealing with all the stuff in this world and the future yet to come. It might all seem hopeless, and many people think it is, but with Christ, there is always hope. The lost world around us and in which we reside for the moment tries desperately to manufacture a sense of hope to kind of banish the reality of a chaotic world. But try as it might, they are mostly unsuccessful and eventually succumb to depression, discouragement, and defeat. I typed in hope into my computer, and Wikipedia online, I don't always refer to them, but they had quite a involved article on hope. And if you're interested, you can go there and read it. It obviously comes from a man's natural man's perspective, but it covers areas such as psychology, society and culture, hope within the healthcare systems of the world, literature, mythology, and even religion. Can you imagine that? They talk about what hope can be in Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, is the Islam faith as well. So they got to cover all the bases, I suppose. Here's just a few excerpts of what they had to say in this article. They said, quote, "Hope is an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. As a verb, its definitions include expect with confidence and to cherish a desire with anticipation. Among its opposites are dejection, hopelessness, and despair." Go on to say, Charles Snyder, a psychologist, postulated that there are three main things that make up hopeful thinking. Number one is goals, approaching life in a goal-oriented way. Secondly, pathways, finding different ways to achieve your goals. And thirdly, agency, believing that you can instigate change and achieve these goals. It's all power of positive thinking, if you understand what he's saying here. In other words, they say, hope was defined as the perceived capability to derive pathways to desired goals and motivate oneself via agency thinking to use those pathways. Did you get that? In the world of psychology, that's what hope is. Hope defined as the perceived capability to derive pathways to desired goals and motivate oneself via agency thinking to use those pathways. Snyder argues that individuals who are able to realize these three components and develop a belief in their ability are hopeful people who can establish clear goals, imagine multiple workable pathways toward those goals, and persevere even when obstacles get in the way. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Sounds hopeful. The problem is, most people don't, and many people can't do these things to create hope for themselves, in themselves, or about what their goals may be. Even with all the material help that's available out there today, too many people, far too many people, are still hopeless and in despair. All their goals are simply fleshly, oriented desires, and mostly unachievable. And when they can't achieve their goals, then what? Then there is despair. And we'll talk a little bit about how they deal with all of that in just a moment. More significantly and eternally important is what the Bible says about hope. The Bible is truth, and the Bible will tell us truth about what hope is and how it works in our hearts and lives. So we're going to take a look at that for a little bit this morning. The word hope and all of its associated forms, hoped, past tense, or hopeful, those kinds of things, occurs 142 times in our Bible. 76 times in the Old Testament, 66 times in the New Testament. Something else you might... Oh, I've lost it. Here it is. The first mention of hope in the Bible is in Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 12, interestingly enough. The last Old Testament occurrence of the word hope is in Zechariah 9, verse 12. The first New Testament occurrence is Luke 6, 34. And the last occurrence in the whole Bible is 1 John 3, 3. Which is very interesting, and so spread through all of the other books in the Bible. The book with the most occurrences of the word hope, what do you think? Probably be somewhere in the biggest book in the Bible, which is Psalms, and you would be correct. There's 26 times in the book of Psalms hope is mentioned. Closely followed by that, from that, is the book of Job. In 17 occurrences in the book of Job, which is also very interesting if you know the book of Job and all that he went through. In the New Testament, Romans has 15 occurrences, and the book of Acts has 10 occurrences. So it's well attested, and but biblical authors have much to say concerning this thing called hope. And hope is one of those words that can be used either as a noun or a verb, which is kind of also interesting. It's used in a variety of situations and circumstances, and it's associated with other great qualities that are expected to be in the believer in Christ. It doesn't exist on its own. It's associated with many other wonderful and great qualities. For example, 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." Here the Apostle Paul associates hope with both faith and charity. Greek word is agape, often translated with the word love. But these three qualities are very, very important in the life of every believer in Christ. Faith, hope, and love. And be worthwhile to muse on those things and how they fit together, how they're associated one with the other, faith, hope, and love. And it might be even interesting to muse on the order in which those things are listed. Faith first, hope next, charity last, and the greatest of these is charity, which must mean that faith and hope are also very important, maybe not the greatest, but certainly not far behind what charity is, because they are listed together here in this verse as abiding now and forever. Here's another set of terms associated with hope. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5, We're going to look at a few passages this morning. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience," what? "Hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." What a great list of associated terms with hope. And you can see how hope fits into the development of such things in the life of the believer. Hope comes from experience, or character is another term for that Greek word. And hope does not make us ashamed. Hope will always give us glory and blessing. We're not ashamed of hope because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us, which gives us a sense that hope is built up and supported and made real in our lives through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So there is no reason for us to be hopeless as believers. I know that there are times when we get into some maybe despair and that kind of thing, but we don't have to sit there. We don't have to languish in that. We can come ahead of that and put hope back to work in our lives as we trust God through the Spirit to do that. here's another short list. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, the Apostle Paul writes, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing, number one, your work of faith, number two, your labor of love, and number three, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." So once again, faith, hope, and love are put together here, even at the beginning of this letter to the Thessalonians. These are great qualities to have, and hope is right there in the midst of all of them. And so we ought to rejoice that God gives to us this hope for our lives. Now, hope, Wikipedia definition is not too bad as far as it goes, but it has no object. It doesn't have the proper object of hope in Wikipedia. Hope there is what you manufacture, you know, what you want in your life. From the scriptures, we learn that hope is the confident expectation that what God has said will indeed come to pass. Even when all around us looks hopeless, we know Christ, we who know Christ, have a hope that sees beyond the apparent realities of life in this world to God, who is sovereign over all things. God has a plan, and he will work out his plan for the ages and for the church and for believers. He will work out that plan, and in that we can have hope that all will be well and that he will accomplish what he has said. It's not a cross your fingers, hope so, kind of a great wish kind of thing, but a confident expectation in God's word that what he has said he will do. So here's a few out of the Psalms that can perhaps be an encouragement and help for us. In Psalm 146, verse 5, it says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." So our happiness, our blessedness, comes as a result of our hope being in the Lord God. The psalmist also, in Psalm 42, contends with himself about why his soul is in despair, and then gives himself an answer. Psalm 42, verse 5, then verse 11, and Psalm 43, verse 5 are essentially the same verses. Here's what he says in Psalm 42, 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. 42, verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And then Psalm 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. My dad used to say that it's a good thing every once in a while to give yourself a good talking to your soul. Make sure that things are what they ought to be. And here's the psalmist. He's contending with himself. Why are you disquieted, O my soul? Why are you cast down? You read the psalm and you might find some reasons for that particular thing. But the answer to all of that is, hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. What's the answer to a disquieted soul, a soul that is cast down and perhaps in despair? Bible says, hope in God. Not like the world around us in psychology says, well, you set yourself a goal and then you come up with creative plans to try and reach that goal. And when you do, then you will have hope. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't help. Bible says, hope in God and you will have hope. Help for your soul. And isn't it interesting that the psalmist goes through that counsel three times? Three times. Verse 5, verse 11, and then 43, verse 5. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul when he was praying about that thorn in the flesh that he received to keep him humble, basically, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He prayed about that thorn in his flesh three times. And it would appear, just thinking through the context, that the Lord didn't answer him until after the third time he answered. He prayed that. And after his third time to pray for the thorn in his flesh, the Lord responded with, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. So the thorn in the flesh was quite debilitating for the Apostle Paul, whatever that was. There are many suggestions as to what that thorn in the flesh was. But he prayed for its removal, I suspect, thinking that if he didn't have that, he might be better suited for ministry and maybe more effective in ministry. But the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient. Even in this turmoil and trouble, my strength is made perfect in weakness, i.e., my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in our weakness. And so Paul said, if that's the case, then I will rejoice. I'll be greatly glad to suffer in my weakness, for when I am weak, then am I strong, because it's God's strength in our weakness. Great, great passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians 12. We also, if we think through the Bible, come across another individual by the name of Job in the Old Testament. Job struggled with hope, all because of the troubles that he was experiencing and that he didn't think he should have to go through, because he maintained his integrity, that he had done nothing wrong. Even though his three friends that came along accused him of doing something wrong, because if you hadn't, then you wouldn't be suffering the things that you are. And Job, throughout the book, in conversation with his three quote-unquote friends, tried to to put his righteousness or his integrity in place. And he even said, I'll even talk to the Lord about this, because basically it's not right. He struggled with the hope because of all the troubles. Listen to a few things in the book of Job. Job 6:11, he says, "What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life?" What does that sound like he's contemplating on doing? You know, if he lived in Canada, they would welcome to help him commit suicide, assisted death, medical assistance and dying, MAID, and that's legal in Canada. You can help get the government to help you to die, end your life. Sounds like that's where he was. Job 7, verse 6 says, Job says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." You know what the weaver's shuttle is? Some of you who are into making clothes and stuff, the shuttle, the weaver's, the loom, it's got threads going vertical and threads horizontal. And the shuttle is the thing that you whip through all of the other vertical threads to make the horizontal threads. So back and forth, and then you get a nice fabricated material. He says, "My days are swifter than the weaver's shuttle." They're going back past so fast, he can't keep up with them. And he says, all of them are days that are spent without hope. One more. In Job 17, verse 14 and 15, he said, "I have said to corruption, thou art my father. To the worm, thou art my mother and my sister." Not sure how they would like hearing that comparison. "Corruption, thou art my father, and to the worm," which I think he's thinking about death and the decomposition of the body, "thou art my mother and my sister. And where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it?" Well, Job was in quite a bit of despair over all that he was suffering and struggling with. He hadn't done anything evil to deserve his troubles, but God was willing to prove Job's trust and belief in him, and so God let the troubles come. The agent that brought all that trouble was Satan himself. Job, however, was a little self-confident and kept insisting on his integrity before the Lord, until the Lord stepped in. And the Lord takes four long chapters to set Job straight about his circumstances and the causes of his trouble. Look at Job 38, if you would. Job is just before the Psalms. So the three friends have all put their input into it. Job has responded and tried to defend himself. And now in chapter 38, the Lord steps in. Look at verse 1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said," can you put your sanctified imagination to work and just see this happening? "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" The Lord says, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." And then he goes on for the whole rest of the four chapters to basically reprimand Job for his own self-righteousness, his failure to understand the work of God in all of his life, and to point out to him that he needed to trust and have his hope in the Lord, not in his own goodness or things that he was able to do. So for four long chapters, and then finally Job comes to his senses in the last chapter, in chapter 42. Here's how Job answered the Lord. 42 verse 1, "And Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job finally got the point and repented of his approach to life, his whole manner in all of this, and sought to trust the Lord in all of that. And God restored this man, Job, to a very blessed position. He gave him twice as much stuff as he had before in terms of cattle, sheep, goats, and even children. Job lost 10 kids, and God restored 10 back to him. You might say, well, why didn't he give him 20 kids? Well, because the 10 that died were not lost, right? They were in a safe place that God had prepared for them, because Job was always looking out for his kids and providing sacrifices against any sins that they may have committed. And so they're still alive in the spirit world. And so he gives him 10 more children, 7 sons and 3 daughters, verse 13. God blessed him greatly. Job's hope has been restored. His hope in the future, his hope in circumstances, his hope in the workings of God, not only in his life, but in his situation, his hope in understanding of himself. Yes. And so Job died, we're told, right at the end of the book. He died being old and full of days, and the implication being that his days were good and blessed and full of hope, because God had taught him about that. So how are you doing in these days? Are you perhaps down because of circumstances that you are dealing with in your life these days? Maybe situations that you're involved in, or maybe you're just down because of the whole world that's gone crazy around us. There are protests by citizens in countries all over the globe. France is undergoing civil unrest because of some of the things that they are doing with taxes. In Israel, the public, the citizens, are protesting the government because they want to change something in how they do court proceedings. Don't understand it all quite and haven't followed it too closely. But people are up in arms all over the world today, and perhaps that could be somewhat making despair or hopeless. Maybe you're down because of finances or health. And the answer is, to all of those situations, is to hope in God. That's what the psalmist knew. That's what he tells us. Hope in God. Our world is in turmoil and chaos. What the scriptures foretold about the last days 2,000 years ago has now come to pass. What hope does anyone have anymore? Not much, it seems. How does the world handle what they perceive as a hopeless situation? Many resort to alcohol. Get drunk and then you don't have to think about anything anymore. Some resort to drugs. They say that over the COVID lockdowns and since all of that took place, that drug use and drug deaths have increased greatly. Some turn to crime. You know, got to rob a bank or rob a variety store. Some turn to brutality and will strike out at anybody. We've heard in the news in the last little while many crimes of brutality, people getting stabbed, people getting shot. Even in London, it's taking place. Perhaps that is making us a little bit in despair. And suicide, they deal with despair and hopelessness with suicide. And praise the Lord, in Canada, we've got MAID. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to have to answer to the Lord for that despicable piece of law in this country. All of these things have greatly increased in the last few years, and it's very sad to consider it. Is there a better solution? Well, of course there is. The world doesn't really want to consider it, because it will require confession of sin, repentance of sin, trust and faith and belief in the Lord Jesus. But there is a hope, and his name is Christ. It was a few years ago that we had a theme for the year of hope, and we used Psalm 71 verse 5 as the theme verse, if you remember. Psalm 71 verse 5 says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord, thou art my trust from my youth." It's a wonderful verse, and I trust that you committed it to memory during that time. And it's important to note right at the very start of that verse that while our hope is in the Lord, the psalmist here emphasizes that his hope is the Lord God. His hope is a person, the person of the eternal, holy, just, true, and righteous God. And you know that when you read about the Lord God in the Old Testament, we understand that this is the Lord Jesus Christ that is being referred to since his incarnation into this world. So who is our hope, beloved? Who is the one that helps us to deal with all of the stuff of this world and life? Our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other who can be our hope, only him. No other man could be our hope. No angel could be our hope. The devil is no creature worthy to be our hope. Even ourselves, don't try to find hope there. Only in Jesus Christ is our hope. In 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. It's Christ who is our hope. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The blessed hope is the glorious appearing of our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And once again, our hope is Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that's going to be when he appears to take us home to be with himself. So let us be mindful today that our hope is a person, the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And with that focus of our lives, our heart, our soul, we should be able to deal with all of the stuff around us in this world, not fall into despair or discouragement, but that we might keep our hope fully intact as we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist in Psalm 71 talked about his trust being in the Lord from his youth. And now, and then later on in the psalm, he says, now I'm old. It doesn't reference anybody here, I know. But from youth to being old, this seems to be quite a long time in the psalmist's experience. And yet he still has his hope in the Lord God. We need to have our hope, no matter how young or old we may be, to be in the Lord Jesus. Having Christ as our hope, we'll be able to endure to old age. Some of us are already there. But our hope will never wear out when it's in Christ. He will never weary. He will not change. He is eternal. He has life eternal. So, rest assured this morning that your hope in Christ is sure. Let your hope and trust and rest be in the Lord Jesus, and he will see us through. He will see us home. I want to play one more song for you, one more video. Again, the Hamilton family. Ron Hamilton composed a song entitled My Hope is Jesus. And I'd like to play that for you. You can watch it. And then afterwards, we're just going to take a few quiet moments to give you some time to interact with the Lord. And perhaps your hope has been suffering a little bit or struggling, to just take a few moments to recommit our hope to be in Christ and to find strength in our lives as a result of that. So let me play this and consider the words.
Trumpet sound, only I and in Him be found.
So to conclude this morning, I would ask us just to take a few moments of quiet meditation, take a few moments to talk to the Lord if hope has been missing in your life for some reason, circumstance. This would be a good time to reconnect with the Lord and perhaps recommit to hope being in Christ. So before we dismiss this morning, let me invite you to take just these few quiet moments before the Lord related to hope in Christ. Heavenly Father, while your children are praying this morning, we understand that in the world around us, with all of its chaos and turmoil and corruption, that it might affect the lives of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit, and that we may have that a sense of despair and discouragement in what we see happening. Help us, Lord, to turn our view and our eyes off of the world. We need to know what's going on for sure, but we don't depend upon the world for our hope. We rather want to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so that we have that hope which is for eternal life. As long as Jesus lives, we have hope. We thank you for the reminder in this song that says, our hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of the universe, the one who's in control. He saved me, and he will keep me till the end, the rock of my salvation. On Christ I will depend. My hope is Jesus. And I pray that as we have taken a few moments this morning to see what you have to say to us from your word concerning hope in our lives, I trust and pray that you will work it deeply into our soul, into our spirit, into our mind, into our heart, and help us to keep that hope securely fixed on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us in saving us from our sins, helping us to repent of those sins, to keep our eyes open and fixed on the things above, as John would say in his first letter. We are waiting for the cry, the upward cry, and the sound of the trumpet to meet you in the clouds of the air. And Father, help us always, no matter what's going on in the world around us or even in our own circumstances and life situations, to keep our hope and focus on the Lord Jesus through it all. And we know that you will bless, that you will give us strength, because your grace is sufficient. Thank you for our time together this morning. I pray that these few words and the time that we've had just now will be an encouragement to all of us, and perhaps even being willing to share with others around us about what you have been doing in our lives. We know that Peter said that we are to be ready always to give an answer to those who ask of us the hope that is in us, and to do that very clearly with grace towards the one who is asking. And so, Father, I pray that you would work in us, make changes if necessary to how we understand hope, and help us to have and to keep that hope in Christ our Savior. Thank you for our time together this morning. I pray that you will dismiss us with your blessing. Watch over us until we meet again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.